Welcome to the Reiki Show, hosted by Bronwyn and Franz Diener of the International House of Reiki. Bronwyn and Franz teach Reiki around the globe and are the authors of the Reiki Sourcebook, the Japanese Art of Reiki, the Reiki Techniques card deck, and the soon-to-be-released A to Z of Reiki. The music you are listening to, Reiki Khan, is available at the International House of Reiki website, www.reiki.net.au. Hi, my name's Bronwyn, and today Franz and I have with us Julie Leanne. Julie is a Reiki teacher and practitioner from the UK who works from a doctor's surgery. Welcome, Julie.
Thank you. Thank you for asking me.
Ah, you're more than welcome.
Julie, I'd like to know about you and your Reiki practice. I understand that you have a Reiki practice in a doctor's clinic in the UK.
I do, yes. It took me more than a year to actually be invited to join a health practice. I wrote to over 20 GP surgeries in my local area. Over a period of a year, and they were the only ones to even respond. And when I asked them what it was about the letter and the approach that I made to them that allowed them to approach me in that way was the fact that the approach was professional and that I spoke a lot about the science behind Reiki and quantum physics, and I was looking at that side of things. And they said they get letters from Reiki practitioners about one a month.
Really?
And they just, yeah, and they just bin them. But when they looked at the pamphlets that I sent and the auditing literature that I sent, it was that persuaded them to get me in and to talk to me about it. So I think really the one thing that I've learned from that is that Reiki, particularly in the UK, I'm not so sure about the rest of the world, but over here it does have a kind of flaky appearance. In order to be taken seriously, you have to present yourself in a professional manner and without losing the element of Reiki that you bring to the practice. You have to be able to communicate with the doctors on a level that they will understand. And that's the biggest problem I think I've found in all of my approaches to the doctors.
And why did you actually want to have a practice in a doctor's clinic?
When I was studying Reiki, I took a cleaning job in a local teaching hospital to supplement my income, but also to find out a bit more about how people react to ill health and the problems that arise for families and also for the person who's suffering from ill health. So I worked in the hospital for about 18 months, and I saw the approach of the medical profession very much concentrated on the symptom and treatment of the symptom, tracing it back to an organ or some disorder in the body and just leaving it at that. And when I was round and about the patient's bed, so I'd often have conversations with them, and it was, you know, it became very clear that there was much more to the healing process than simply that. And those things weren't being addressed, and that was when I started to look at how important the integration of allopathic and complementary medicine is for the healing of the whole person. Because if you don't deal with the emotional and the mental issues that will go hand in hand with a physical illness, you're not really healing that person, or rather helping that person to heal themselves. So it became quite stark in the hospital environment. I mean, I was obviously aware of it from a GP point of view, but in the hospital environment, it is so much more concentrated.
How are you working with the doctors? Are you actually, you know, are they referring people to you, or are you just simply in the same clinic? How does that work?
The doctors have a computer system whereby they can call up the patient's records, whenever they're seeing a patient. And alongside that, they have access to the various different complementary disciplines that they have under their roof. So when they've got a patient with them, if they consider that that patient may very well benefit from a complementary therapy, they can book a patient in with a therapist while that patient is in their surgery.
And they are actually doing that?
No, not for Reiki. There's a surprise. I think education is very important.
Yep.
And the problem that doctors have is the training they have is very much in a Newtonian-based science, Einstein's science of relativity and cause and effect. Whereas Reiki comes more from a quantum physics approach to science. So basically the difference is that there is no cause, there is no effect that they can physically see, either under a microscope or in some other way. So they find it very hard to grasp the concept of how it could possibly work. And that's not because they're alien in thought, but it's their training. Linda, a fellow master teacher of ours, is having that same experience with medical students at York University, and she's just completed a complementary section within their training program. And she's covered the Reiki aspect of it. And she found the same thing, which was that medical students, so even before they launched themselves into a professional medical career, during the training stage, they find it very difficult to understand and grasp the concept of how oneness, of how something so simple can achieve what it does with Reiki. I find that too. I have a lot of nurses come to me for training. And as soon as they start questioning, like they do in the medical profession, does it hurt here? How does this feel? As soon as they start bringing the mind and the analysis of what's going on into the equation, it's almost as if the Reiki shuts down. It closes down on them. And it's a very strange phenomenon that Linda and I have noticed about teaching some people with that medical background.
Mm. Have you actually done some treatments on the doctors, for example, at the clinic?
When I first started there, I offered a morning, because part of the problem is people. I always hear people say to me, well, I've heard of Reiki, but what is it exactly? So I thought a good way of the only way, really, that you can understand Reiki is to experience it. So I did a morning of treating various members of staff to 20-minute session, just so that they could understand what's involved in a treatment in terms of non-intervention, which is very important for the medical profession, and also to experience it for themselves, so that they can see what the benefits would be for the patient that's sitting in front of them. The practice manager wholeheartedly backed me here and took over the various roles as these people came in to see me, and the response was phenomenal. I treated about 10 people. The doctors didn't want to partake, but the staff and the nurses were really quite astonished by what came out of the treatments. And of course, for every one of them, it was a very different process. So the one thing I think that they took away from that was the individuality of the treatments, the different experiences that they had, and how quickly things were picked up in that. But alongside that, that was, well, how on earth can that be? So they struggle greatly to understand the process involved.
Julie, how many doctors are there in your clinic?
It's a 5-doctor practice with a 17,500 patient base.
That's fantastic, yeah.
It's a phenomenal size, yeah.
Can you give a little bit of feedback of how the clients kind of see it that when they go to the doctor as well, they might be referred to practice some Reiki. How do they see that? Do they think, well, that's strange, or are they open to it, or initially maybe a bit skeptic, and then they open up and see actually how wonderful it is?
They are always a little skeptical, and that's because it is quite a hard concept to grasp. I've had a lot of people actually convert to students who then want to learn for themselves. One example was I had a seven-year-old girl come to me. Mum and dad were having difficulties making a decision, and that was causing tension in the home, and that tension in the home was feeding through to the seven-year-old. She had three sessions with me, and Mum was so astonished by the change in her child that she came to me to learn, which is just wonderful to see that the whole change in the whole family. So in treating the seven-year-old, it filters out the energy change in the child, filters out to the immediate members of the family. And I think that's probably the best way of demonstrating how Reiki works. Another example I had just this week was a patient who suffers from ME. She's 19 and she's about to go off to university, and she's really worried about how she's going to cope with the workload there. So she's been diagnosed with ME for 5 years, and she's been under the doctors at the practice, and she's been on various types of medication. And she came to a free Reiki day that I did there to educate people about Reiki, and she's on her fourth treatment now, which will be her last one. And she's booked a month's holiday in Thailand before she goes off to uni. She's her whole appearance has changed. She's much more vibrant, more energetic, more interested in life, which are all the telltale signs of ME, the lack of those elements. And that's just in three treatments. So I think what people and patients at the surgery are beginning to see is the speed at which change can take place. Because, of course, for a lot of them, it's a question of cost. They walk into the doctor's surgery, and over here, there's the NHS, so they get their medical treatment free. And then if the doctor says to them, well, I think you might benefit from some counselling, or I think you might benefit from some acupuncture or some Reiki, cost is an immediate problem there. And what I found is that because I offer concessionary rates for patients who are on low incomes, that's gone down quite well. So it's reaching more people than it might otherwise do. I think when you're working from an institution like a GP surgery, you have to be prepared to offer whatever you need to do in order to show people what the benefits of Reiki. And, of course, the best benefit of all is to learn it for yourself, to understand that you can do this for yourself already. And I think that's where my attention's turning now, is particularly with my experiences recently with young children. And that's why I'm now looking at taking an element from Reiki, which is the meditation, and teaching children how to manage their own stress levels, to understand what stress is doing to them when they're in situations at school where there's exam stress or pressure to do well or bullying, and giving the children a technique that is used in Reiki and other practices that gives them that base start so that the young children of today become the doctors of tomorrow. And that's the best way to educate and open people's minds and just understand the power that they have within themselves to make change.
What do you think are some of the benefits for a practitioner to have a practice in a GP surgery?
I think it's a mixed blessing, I have to say. What you have to do is learn to speak a whole different language for a start. You can't talk about energy fields because they can't conceptualize what you're talking about. You have to talk about the electromagnetic field, which they understand because that comes from equipment that they use, like EEGs, heart monitors, that kind of thing. So you have to look at what you work with in Reiki and then find a translation for it in the medical profession. And that has a benefit for you as well, because it broadens your complete understanding of what you're working with within you, and how that affects the people that you work on. Another benefit for working in a GP surgery is, of course, raising awareness. That's the place where it's most needed, is in an integrated healthcare environment, because to teach people to balance themselves, harmonize themselves with their own energy and the universe around them, means less trips to the doctor for stress-related illnesses, of which a recent survey in the UK has shown that 80% of illnesses that are coming to GPs and to hospitals are stress-related. So it can have a huge impact on it, and the biggest impact it can have is if you're working within that environment. It's difficult to stand outside of that environment and say, hey, look, you know, this is really good, have a look at it. You can affect change from within with Reiki, but also within an integrated environment is the best way to affect change. But it is hard.
What would you recommend to a practitioner who wanted to actually do what you're doing and work within such an environment? What would you recommend that they do? How would they approach the clinic, and how would they actually get Reiki accepted, do you think?
First of all, what they've got to do, I ask the surgery what made me stand out above all the other Reiki practitioners. What was it about my letter and enclosures? And they said, first of all, I was a master teacher that spoke to them. But they're also very aware of the fact that on the internet now you can become a Reiki master teacher in 48 hours. So they do look very hard at how long you've been practicing. So prepare a CV and set out all your work experience within a Reiki situation. Explain the types of medical conditions that you've helped people cope with. Be very professional in your literature. That has a huge impact. It makes the difference of whether they even look at it or not. So have a very professional approach in what you present of your business, but also in yourself. It shouldn't make a difference, but it does. It makes a huge difference. Finally, I think the one thing that swayed them was the fact that I didn't use words like aura and spiritual. Just don't even go near those subjects, because many doctors will just shut right down. This is echoed by Angie Buxton King, who has been the manager of a complementary health unit attached to the haematology ward at the University College Hospital London. And for 6 years they've run, paid by the NHS, they've run a clinic there, and they use complementary therapies there to help patients who are undergoing chemotherapy with the side effects of the chemotherapy. So they're finding that patients are having less hair loss, suffering less from nausea, all the usual symptomatic side effects of the chemotherapy process. And in her book, The NHS Healer, which is a very good book to buy for understanding the NHS wheels and how to approach them, she also says that don't use words like spiritual healing or anything to do with that, because the medical profession will just they'll just close their ears to it, and anything you have to say after that is irrelevant. Any form of communication is a two-way process. So in order to get doctors to understand what you're talking about, you have to find the words that they can relate to.
Yeah.
And they just can't relate to words like aura, and spiritual doesn't come under their guidelines at all.
And to finish off today, We'd just like to ask you, are there any other books that you could recommend? I know you're interested in the scientific aspects of energy work, for example. Yes. So is there anything there that you think is a really good book that might help people out there who'd like to understand Reiki from that perspective?
Yeah, there are a couple of really good books written by doctors, and it's really from reading those that you understand the language to use. So if you're thinking about going into a doctor's surgery, these are the sorts of books that you need to be reading first. The first one that I would recommend is, have a look, Energy Medicine, The Scientific Basis. And that's a book by James L. Osman. The foreword to that book is written by Candice Pert, who is very much into energetic medicine. And she's a PhD professor. She's written a book called Molecules of Emotion. Now, I did a course at the Bristol Cancer Health Centre, and that's one book that they recommend to therapists and to patients alike. She's a research professor at the Department of Physiology and Biophysics at Georgetown University Medical Centre in Washington. She does AIDS research, and she's the scientist who discovered the morphine receptor in the human body. That's a very good book for understanding how your emotions, how your mind and emotions affect the physical body, and it's written in a way that provides you with the terminology that you can use in doctor's clinics. Another good one to look at is the NHS Heal. I thoroughly recommend that. That's a book by Andrew Buxton King that I spoke about earlier. Quantum Healing is a book written by Deepak Chopra. He's actually a practicing endocrinologist and former chief of staff at the New England Memorial Hospital in Massachusetts. And he's written many books on mind-body medicine. It's a good book to read. It's one I recommend to my students with medical backgrounds because it's written from a medical perspective. So it's one that translates very well from energy healing. And my advice is to just keep plugging away at it. You'll get there eventually. Took me a year.
Well, thanks, Julie. Yeah, it's fantastic, and it's great to see that Reiki is slowly being integrated into the doctors' clinics and health practitioners and in hospitals.
Yes, I think a lot of nurses in the hospital I work at have therapy from me, and that's simply through just, you know, seeing them in a stress situation and just saying, do you want to try a bit of Reiki? And that's the biggest way to explain, biggest and best way to explain what Reiki is to just demonstrate. Yeah, just demonstrate.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Julie.
Thank you.